We're told that Tchaikovsky was commissioned to compose Swan Lake in 1875 by a ranking theater official and former artistic manager of the Bolshoi Theater. A fan of ballet, Tchaikovsky was very excited by the commission, and he quickly began work on the composition. But the journey of Swan Lake had begun several years earlier, in the summer of 1871 in Kamyanka, Ukraine, while Tchaikovsky was on holiday and staying with his sister and her family on their estate, he composed and choreographed an impromptu house ballet called The Lake of Swans for his nieces and nephews. What would be his first full-length ballet would be an expansion of this little ballet. His nephew, Yuri, wrote an account of The Lake of the Swans, which he learned from his older sisters, since he was born 5 years later. A celebrated event was the production by Peter Ilyich of a ballet in which my older sisters and Uncle Modeste participated. The ballet was created by Peter Ilyich, as was also the music, on the theme, The Lake of Swans. Of course, this was not the ballet which is given on stages now, but a children's one-act short ballet, although the principal theme was then the same as now. Yuri's sister Anna, who would have been 7 years old in 1871 and performed in the little ballet, tells us Tchaikovsky very much loved to produce all manner of house performances. The first production was The Little Lake of Swans. My sister participated. She was six. My Uncle Modeste performed the role of the prince. I represented Cupid. The magnificent wood swans on which we rocked were in the house for a long time. Tchaikovsky's aim was to create a ballet that told a romantic story or fairy tale like the romantic ballets of the early to mid-19th century, with a supernatural woman falling in love with a mortal man that ended in tragedy. For Swan Lake, the libretto was based on European legends about people turning into birds, more especially the mythical swan maidens who mostly appear in North and Germanic folklore and mythology. All that from the Marius Petipas Society. We are invited to attend the premiere of a ballet for children of all ages, based too in folklore and mythology, set at a lake with swan maidens and a happy ending. Choreographer Amy Casimir approached folklorist and storyteller Fiona Powell in order to create a ballet that was before the Swan Lake we know. Fiona tells us the scene is a lake, where at twilight a trickster raven is looking for shining things he can steal to take back to his hoard. We encounter a little goose who is looking for his friends, the little swans. Goose longs to join the swans, but the older swans constantly reject him. Goose is suspicious of Raven, and very brave. He confronts him, even though Raven towers over him. The swan maidens arrive by moonlight, flying in on a flurry of jeweled wings. They can transform at will by removing their feathered cloaks. As they are dancing, Raven steals their cloaks and hides them. Goose sees this happening and tries to warn the swan maidens, but the older swans won't listen. Finally, they decide it is time to fly away again, but without their cloaks, they cannot. Upset ensues. Finally, they listen to little Goose. They confront Raven, who feels sorry and returns their cloaks. The swan maidens fly away, but just as they leave, they turn to invite the little goose to join them. He has earned his place with these beautiful beings. In order to craft the story, Fiona tells us, I looked at folklore of the Balkans, folk tales about women turning into swans, Welsh folk tales about women transforming into birds, and Celtic folklore about women turning into other creatures who must protect their skins or wings, because if they are stolen, they will be stuck and not free. as well as local Native American understanding of the white swans and geese who gather together near here every year. That from Fiona Powell. You may remember Fiona as WVIA's longtime Susquehanna Valley producer, now retired. This enchanting fairy tale world will be brought to life at the 8th annual Lewisburg Victorian Fairy Garden Party this Saturday, July 25th, at the Green Space Center in Lewisburg, featuring the new Swan Lake Ballet. A Lewisburg Victorian Fairy Garden Party will celebrate its 8th edition. Other Victorian pleasures include croquet, a harpist, a book nook courtesy of Mondragon Books in Lewisburg, floriography with Danielle Snyder, prizes for the scavenger hunt and costume contest, and all this and more. We had a chance to speak by phone with Amy Casimir, artistic director of the event, and Trey Casimir, producer and dancer, about all the captivating experiences we'll have. And we began by asking Amy what inspired her to create the Victorian Fairy Garden Party.
It's an accumulation of everything. I visited Huntington Library, which is Gardens and Library in California, growing up, and loved the opulence of the mansion and the gardens. And I also would have tea there. So that was always part of my upbringing. And then along with that, just owning a ballet studio now, wanting to make sure the kids understood what time period the ballets were coming from and how things were different. And then I started learning more about that time period, you know, the Art Nouveau time period. And I just love everything about the style of that time. And we needed to have a fundraiser. And one of the things we haven't done yet, so where there's room for growth, is that we'd like to connect this to a lovely dinner under the stars. And that hasn't happened yet, but that's what we're trying to lead up to.
I think when we started doing the Victorian Nutcracker, we got thrown into the world of Victoriana, and it's a fascinating time period. And it turns out fairies were very big in Victorian times, mm-hmm. garden parties. It was kind of a natural fit just to keep the momentum going through the seasons.
Now, before we get to the dance, because we're going to build to that, fill us in, though, about the costume contest and those aspects of your party.
Well, the party starts. It kind of starts before the dancers come out, as everyone starts arriving. We have special guest judges who are there to see everyone arrive in their costumes, and they sign up for the costume contest, and we start the party with photos of all those, of anybody who wants a photo, actually. And then we have a grand promenade, and the dancers take everyone around, and everyone can see the costumes and just enjoy the beautiful evening. And then we end at the audience area for the ballet to begin. The costume contest, I have people who are working on their costumes who are very excited. They won last year. They want to win again. And we have lovely prizes this year from Karmic Blends. They donate beautiful product bags. They have perfume and ointments and oils and all those lovely things. And we also have ceramics from Angela Mowry. And it's great. They have fantastic things for prizes.
Are hats a big deal in this costume world?
Well, so in category, there's fairy and Victorian. So those who come as Victorians tend to wear the hats. Mushroom hats were big a couple years ago. Everyone's making mushroom hats.
They're different takes. Some of the people look like they've stepped out of a movie. You know, they're in total antebellum kind of dress. And then other people plainly worked away in their basement for 4 weeks and have something very homemade looking, but super charming. And that person gets a prize too sometimes.
Yeah, it's the spirit of it, not the fanciest costume or the best bought costume. It's the spirit of the whole event.
Drum roll, please, because it's really very special that you've created an original ballet. And Amy, you have drawn into the preparation of this ballet our friend and WVIA's retired Central Pennsylvania producer, Fiona Powell. Introduce us to how you know Fiona and what you were able to work through.
I first met Fiona 20 years ago when my kids were very little and I would take them to hear her tell stories. And I loved her always and didn't meet her until just a few years ago. And I got the courage up at our second fairy party, I think, to ask her if she would come tell stories at our fairy party. So we began a relationship through that, and I just knew I've always wanted to do my own version of a story that's similar to Peter and the Wolf, where you have narration and then music for dancing, the Peter and the Wolf ballet. And so this was the moment I said, so we chose Swan Lake this year because I always like to tie the ballet that I teach in June to the fairy party. So the kids get to learn the original ballet, and then we get to do a version of the ballet for the fairy party. We chose Swan Lake this year, but Swan Lake is a tragedy. And I didn't think that was fairy garden party dance material. And so I thought this is a perfect time to talk to Fiona and see if she's willing to create a story with me. And she was willing, and we've been working since April to create this story. And it's been very fun.
And what music did you choose then? Some of Swan Lake or most of it?
We had about 20 minutes of music from Act 2, the White Act of Swan Lake.
And can either of you or both of you give us a little synopsis of how it might be different? There are little swans, aren't there?
So the main difference is in the ballet Swan Lake, there's evil von Rothbart who traps maidens and makes them swans. And in my version, I wanted the ladies to be able to choose to be a swan or a maiden at will. So they can transform because they want to, not because they have to. And so they've chosen to be this bevy of swans together with each other, this group of women dancing together from the 6-year-olds up to the 18-year-olds.
And then I'm a naughty raven who messes things up.
And the best part of all is we have a goose who's our hero.
Hallelujah, fortunately.
Fiona told me he's a little fellow and he's just adorable.
Yes, that's Ike.
Ike's from a dancing family. His sisters dance and we've known them for a while. And boy, he's been a total champ.
He's been a dancer in the fairy party for 3 years now, and he doesn't take ballet with me, but his sisters do, and he wants to join the party every year. And part of the party is that we make our own costumes, and he sits on the floor, and he cuts out feathers, and he glues them on just like everybody else.
We were asking you, Amy, about when you got to know Fiona, and I will take us back to New York City, Trey. And I first got to know you, not here in Lewisburg, but when you were dancing in New York.
Yes, ma'am.
Tell us what you were doing there.
I was a professional dancer for 12 years, and I always had day jobs. But I've been really, really, really enjoying being back in the studio with dancers and remembering why I did it for 12 years, because I love hanging out with dancers. And it doesn't matter if they're adults or little kids. I like dancers. I like being around them, and it's been really a wonderful pleasure.
Did you have to do a lot to get your dance chops back?
Yes, ma'am. I've been back in class regularly for about a year and a half, and I was just doing it for my mental and mostly my mental health, but also just a way to get my energy out. And then Amy and Fiona started working on this thing, and about a month and a half ago, Amy was fretting. They needed a raven, and she didn't, maybe this girl or maybe that girl. And I said, excuse me, if there's going to be a dancing crow in central Pennsylvania, I think it should be me.
I thought of him, of course, right away, but he is the producer and he is the main setter-upper of the party, which takes the entire day. And I didn't want to put stress on him, but he is the perfect raven. So we're making other plans for the setup, so he's not the only one doing it this year.
Do you have feathers too, Trey?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Amy gives us all a craft. I made my costume, except for the vest. She got that. And we're still working on what I'm going to do on my head, but that's all right. We'll work it out.
So you were suggesting that you didn't want a Swan Lake that is a tragedy. So even though we go through some stresses and strains in your ballet, we do come to a happily ever after closing?
Yes, there is some comedy in there also. It's a lighthearted version of Swans.
When you started thinking about this original, you've always had a dance element, but nothing as ambitious as this.
No, this is exciting, having a full story with narration. And so we're going to be having some narration and the music pauses, but then we have dancing. It's fantastic. It's huge.
But also the kids. We were just talking about it, and the level has really come up.
Yes.
And these 21 kids don't look like three good kids and 18 dopes. They look like 20 pretty good kids and a couple more who are trying really hard. And it's really great. It's really inspiring.
It's hard to follow an act like that. So what happens when the happily ever after hooray and the applause and all of the grand feelings after the dance?
We get to eat.
Yeah. and do our various, get our tarot read, or maybe play some croquet, or make a bath bomb, get some flowers, a variety of things you can do.
Review for us where this takes place.
815 Market Street in Lewisburg, Pennsylvania. This is the old high school building on the corner of Route 15 and Route 45. It goes from 7:30 to dark on Saturday, July 25th.
You'll see us on the front lawn.
Rain or shine?
Yes, rain or shine. It's out in the front lawn, and it is a fundraiser for our Nutcracker. It's free to attend, but we do ask for donations. We'll gladly accept them. And this year, one of the new things we have is a silent auction, some homemade products that people have donated to us.
Homemade blankets and homemade couture.
And we have some new vendors coming to be a part of the party, and they are excited to be there because they've heard it's a lovely evening and they're happy we asked them to come. So that's just between year 1 and 8. That's exciting for me.
And you tell us that you receive the support of the Lewisburg Downtown Partnership.
They've always supported us, but this year with the Christmas in July idea being same day as the fairy party, they decided to be a part.
Year 1, this is the idea we took to them. Hey, let's do Christmas in July and have a downtown event that ends at a fairy garden party. And, you know, it's a pretty big ask. And that part of it didn't really turn out. The fairy garden party turned out great. And then eventually they came around to our way of thinking.
The Downtown Partnership has always been very supportive in that they provide the prizes for the scavenger hunt we throw through the stores downtown. And hopefully this year we'll get more non-dancers playing the scavenger hunt. That's what we're looking for, is to have a connection between the dance studio and just shoppers downtown.
The LDP has also put us on brochures and kept us in their materials. I'm teasing my friends at LDP. We've been part of them for a long time and really appreciate their help.
I can hear it in your voice that you're both very excited, and you're not excited in terms of anxiety.
We're getting better at it every year. There's always room for improvement. And we both wake up at about 5 in the morning and say, are you awake? Yeah, we're awake. And so we just get up and do our things. We know what to do. We know what we have to do. And it's just nonstop until after everything's put away after the party.
But it's also, again, like with the kids, the community, you know, we did it all ourselves until... But now we can't exactly, because it's getting bigger, and boy, they just stepped right up.
Yes, good volunteers. And I have to agree with Trey on the dancers. This year, because the ballet was so big and the story was so big, and because the different ages of dancers are dancing together on stage, which doesn't always happen. In the past, it didn't happen. I emailed everyone a few days before the camp started, and I said, if you want to treat this as a day camp where you come and stay and work in your costume and dance and you're dancing and have your snack when you want to, I've had a lot of dancers do that. And so they've been here for hours on end, and we're having a great time. The studio is so busy and so happy, and there are cloth feathers everywhere.
Give us where we might go, this website or something where we can find the details.
Strictlyballetarts.com. Under performances, there is a Victorian Fairy Garden Party page, and it has all the information on that page.
Strictlyballetarts.com.
Amy Casimir of Strictly Ballet. She is artistic director of Strictly Ballet and of this very special event. And Trey Casimir, producer of this event and a dancer in the ballet. It is the 8th annual Lewisburg Victorian Fairy Garden Party, taking place this Saturday, July 25th, from 7:30 p.m., and they will go until dark. There will be that original ballet based on the story of Swan Lake, but with a happy ending, a costume contest, a scavenger hunt, a visit from the Green Fairy, other Victorian pleasures, croquet, there'll be a harpist on hand, a book nook, floriography, prizes abound, and you have a chance to just enjoy the promenade when the costume parade gets underway. The wonderful young dancers will come out and lead a promenade through and around the garden party. Much more. For more information, it is strictlyballetarts.com, strictlyballetarts.com. Now, it is free. You don't have to pay a cent. But if you are able to and would like to, they will accept donations for the annual Victorian Nutcracker that they present in December. And in addition, they will encourage you to create or adapt Victorian fairy or garden party attire. It just makes the whole event more lively. So that is the Lewisburg Victorian Fairy Garden Party, rain or shine, this Saturday, July 25th, 7:30 to dark on the front lawn at the Green Space Center, 815 Market Street in Lewisburg. You can find them on Instagram or Facebook or at the website strictlyballetarts.com. strictlyballetarts.com.